Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Join us live each week as we journey into the world of passion. Want to live life passionately? Finding your passion could be the difference between living life in the everyday and living life with meaning and purpose. Take these weekly lessons into life and business. Interact with your host, Tony Lontis, and her Passion Project facilitator, Peter Wallman, as we conduct a passion mapping exercise with Tony live on air. Passion is everything. Good morning, everyone. Good evening, America. Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. This week, we'll be talking about creating a rich vision for the future. So our topic is visioning, and I have the most delightful guest with us today, Aletha Tucker. Aletha is a human resources consultant, a coach, author, and speaker. And as a human resources expert, she focuses on identifying areas that need improvement with the vision to develop and implement successful action plans. She's a successful background in both strategic HR planning and is highly capable of the daily hands-on HR professional work. She's currently Director of Human Resources for a women-owned small business. Aletha is the visionary behind Jolice Enterprises, an organization designed to equip and empower individuals to reach their full potential in the areas of personal and career development and physical, spiritual, and mental awareness. I'm delighted to have Aletha on the program, and at the end of our session, I want to introduce you to her amazing book called 50 Things I've Learned on My Way to 50, and it's a glimpse into Aletha's life. But good morning, Aletha.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so delighted that you could come on the show today. It's wonderful to have a fellow American on the show to join me and talk about what your life has been and how it's unfolded. And so let's start with, were you always interested in human resources?
Wow, that's a great question. Actually, no, I kind of stumbled into human resources. I started when I came out of college. I did a number of things, and human resources came about, I'd say about 8-9 years after I started doing some permanent placement, and then I was in charge of doing temporary placement, and then I got more into all of the general pieces of human resources, and I haven't turned back.
Yeah. So you didn't start with your own business, though. You worked for other companies, and
Yes, I didn't. Jolice Enterprises, actually, I just started a couple of years ago, but I have been working in the HR industry, I would say most of my career.
Yes. And what sort of a journey has that been for you? What sort of places has it taken you? What sort of things have you been able to do in the realm of HR or human resources?
Sure. Well, initially, like I mentioned, I did permanent placement for a couple of years, and then I went back in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. I did some work with a temp placement agency, and then I started work with the company that I am with now with Human Resources, and there it started with training. We were doing some training. Some marketing and communications. And then I did more or less kind of the overall management of one sector of a small desk. And then I moved into the corporate office, where I started doing just a full range of human resource activities. We are small, so we wear a number of hats. So anything from recruiting to benefits. But I must say the piece that I enjoy most, of course, is working with people in their positions that they have. And then also kind of exploring, you know, opportunities, where they want to go next, and things out of that realm.
Yeah, Yeah. So for those listening and watching, human resources is a big job. There's lots of components that go into managing human resources. And it's not just recruitment and retention. It's about training and professional development. And so it's a big job, isn't it, Aletha?
It is. It's a big job. And it's definitely one that I said we're small and we wear a lot of hats. Definitely, we have a number of people who work in that arena with me. We all pull together to get whatever it is that needs to be done, done. A lot of the positions that we have are for technical resources. So a lot of the training, they already come having that training. And then, of course, it's just maintaining it and recertifications, and also, like I said, finding out what's next for them, you know, where they want to go, where they are now, how they want to explore their career.
Is it hard for people to keep up with all the technological advances that we're seeing? I know, and I'll be the first to admit that I struggle to keep up with the fabulous stuff that seems to be coming out. Is that a challenge you find, Aletha?
It is, absolutely. Mainly because, like you said, technology just keeps advancing because there's a need for it to advance in the technical arena. So there are always upgrades and new products doing different things. So for that reason, we have to take into account that all of our employees will probably have to go to some type of training during the year. It's seldom that anyone goes without training in the positions that we have. They are always having to go to the next level.
So knowing that your background is in human resources, how did you get started with Passion Maps? And let's explore that experience of yours and let our listeners know what it's meant to you to do the passion mapping process.
So I started Jolies Enterprises a couple of years ago, and basically just to expand further on what I had been doing already, which was helping people to kind of find what they wanted to do, helping them with searching for jobs, helping them with kind of coming up with the kinds of tools that they needed, whether it be mindset tools or actual job tools that they need to advance to what I like to refer to as their dream career, which is a lot different from a job. So in there, I really realized somewhere along the time that I started doing this, I realized, you know, I really need to identify my passions. What am I really passionate about? And it was shortly before I wrote the book that kind of tells the journey of my life and the little lessons I've learned along the way. But it was around then that I really kind of tuning into passion a bit. And so recently, I came across Peter and Passion Maps and decided to do one. And it was so really life-changing, just altering to find out, to really do that deep dive and see where your energy, where those passions come from or where they are. And after that, that's what sparked my interest, and I have been furthering it.
Are you happy to share with some of those elements of your particular passion map that excite you the most?
So I, the one that is really my anchor, the one that really steadies me, is my foundation in Christ. So that is the one that all of mine kind of branch off of. One is vitally me, meaning, you know, just looking out for the healthy side of me. Just, you know, trying to get healthier, mental and physically, in that arena. One other that I have is I refer to my children. I have a passion yes. for them that I call my precious jewels.
Yes.
How
many children have you
journey.
Got, Aletha?
I have two. Yeah. I have one who has just completed his first year of college.
Yeah.
And then my oldest just completed one half of her master's program. So she just got her master's.
Wow. That's yeah. impressive. Yeah. It's lovely when they get to that adult age where they start to find their own way in the mm-hmm. world. I have found that the most fascinating to see yes. where they go and what they do and just yes. be more in the background as that mm-hmm. guiding, gentle reminder and to be able to share in their wins and when life's tough. It's really enjoyable. And then you get grandbabies, Aletha.
Yes.
And grandbabies are the best gift ever.
Oh, wow. I'm excited. I'm waiting. My daughter keeps saying, don't hold your breath.
I know, because they wait so long nowadays.
They do.
Like, they go on and on and on and on. And you think, oh, I'm never going to have those grandbabies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm looking forward to that day, though. I am.
Oh, you will love it. I'm telling you.
Yes.
It's wonderful being a parent, but there's something special and precious about being a nana. It's wonderful. And so once you'd done your passion mapping exercise, mm-hmm. how did that help you in life and business?
I felt I knew what I was passionate about, but having yeah. gone through the entire mapping exercise, it just kind of solidified things. And it brings about a sense of wholeness, you know, to be yes. able to look at this map and really say, this truly represents my passions. And this is yes. what, you know, these are the things that pull me into the person that I am. And yeah. I want to go more and do more in the future yes. with my profession as well as my personal life. With
oh,
my
definitely.
Passions. So yeah. what I plan to do actually in the next few months, of course, yes. I will definitely be offering the passion mapping to individuals that I work with, individual clients that I yes. see through Jolie's Enterprises as well,
yeah.
as we try and do a deep dive on passion. I have a real passion for yes. helping women
yes.
and helping women around my age. We've been working yeah. for a while, you
yeah.
know, and kind of approaching that retirement age. And
yeah.
we've been around long enough to have a family. And, you know, some yeah. of us are going on to grandchildren. So
yeah.
for many women at this point, it's the time to determine, okay, so what do I do next?
Yes.
You know, let me try to move a little more into the areas that I'm passionate about. And I really
yes.
want to work more with women in doing that.
Yeah.
Helping them to find it and then showing them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that there's something very special about the aging process and the wisdom that you gain as you age. And the mm-hmm. ability, because you and I, we will be looking forward to long wonderful, fulfilling lives because
yes.
of the advances in medicine and technology and all the rest of it. So mm-hmm. once those fundamental child rearing time is, you know, it comes to an end, that's the time of our life that we can really do wonderful things in our lives and for the people around us. And so I love your vision for Jolie's Enterprises.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic. I'm sure it will be just wonderful for you to be able to help other women our age decide and determine what their passion is, because you are absolutely right. It gives you a certain mm-hmm. sense of clarity, and just looking at your passion map just immediately takes you, okay, so that doesn't quite sit well. That's not part of what is fundamentally me. It's
right.
a great checkpoint, isn't it? Have you
yes,
found that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's really helped me to kind of zero in on some things, you know.
Yes.
For example, I've known that for quite some time that I've had a passion for service. Well, what
Yes.
about that? You know, where do I really have a passion for serving, and why is that such a passion? And, you
Yeah.
know, being able to dig deep on that has really, really just, like I said, or like you said, given me
Yeah.
a sense of clarity about it all, which is
It
awesome.
does, doesn't it? It really helps cement things. And if you're a bit undecided about something, just a quick glance at that map, and it certainly becomes, I know for me, it
Yes.
certainly comes clear. Yes, that's right. No, that's not. Very
Right.
good having done that process.
Sure.
I wanted to, before we run out of time, is talk about your book. And your book's
Oh.
called 50 Things I've Learned on My Way to 50, which is an awesome title. Can you tell me
Yes.
how you come up with the concept and the title and what the book means to you?
Sure, absolutely. I had been I was writing this book for quite some time, and it
Yeah.
was when I turned, well, it was a few years after 50, let's say
Yeah,
that, that I finally published it. But the thought came about because as I was approaching my 50th birthday, I felt like I wanted to do a huge celebration. And I felt like I needed to, you know, be able to have something at the celebration that really kind of showed, you know, what I've done in 50 years. And
yes.
I had just really been beating myself up about it, losing sleep. What can I say? What have I done? And then it just came to me, you know, you have survived 50 years, and the
Yes.
little things that have happened in your life have turned into major lessons. And then it dawned on me, you know, just living everyday life isn't always so easy.
No, it's not.
So let's put these little lessons in a book, and who knows,
Yeah.
perhaps someone else can benefit from the things that I've learned on my
Yeah.
way. And so that's why the subtitle is Sharing My Journey,
Yeah.
because that was the goal, to share my journey. Because if it can help someone else in any way, no matter how
Yeah.
small or
Yeah.
major, that's
Yeah.
definitely what I want to do. And it's very special to me because I wrote it during a time when I finished it during a time when my father was in his last stages with cancer. He was diagnosed and he passed away rather quickly. It was a very tumultuous
Oh.
time. I had had C-spine surgery,
Yeah.
and you know, he was going through the process of of journeying on.
Yeah.
And so I dedicate it to him because I
Yeah.
learned so much even during that time. And the
Yeah.
major thing that I got from him was the need to serve. And for that reason, that's the reason why I do what I do
Yeah.
with
Yeah.
Jolise and on my job as
Yeah.
the HR director.
Yeah. So you've got this lovely little company. You've got your wonderful book. You also do some speaking,
I
believer.
do.
Yeah.
Yes,
Do you
I
do that across the
speak
country and internationally, or how does that work for you?
just domestic within the US. I have done, I've spoken, I've been at various platforms where job skills are needed, and I do a talk on the basic skills of going out and finding a job. I also do seminars for women, and we talk a lot about the journey. The book, I have these things called journey shares, which are small groups of women that meet and discuss a topic. And who knows where it may go once we leave that area. They'll be partnered and accountability partners just to help each other as they navigate their journey. So I have done conferences around that as well. And then I have done some things where I've been the speaker as we launch books. I've been a part of an anthology a couple of times. So we've had some speaking engagements around that as well.
Fantastic. So I also wanted to ask you this pandemic, COVID-19, has been very different in Australia as compared to the US. And when I was thinking about you this morning before the program, I'm thinking there's been a huge amount of job loss across the US. We've had job loss in Australia, but it's massive in the US. And I'm wondering how you think that your what you do may be able to help those people that just might be listening or watching who've lost their job.
What I started doing actually with my Facebook posts during the pandemic, I have been sharing things to help people to cope during this time. I call it Wednesday work or work Wednesday. I sometimes switch up the title, but it includes information on, you know, just what do you do now that you're working from home? What are some of the things that you can do to better your skill set so that when it is time for you to go back into the office, you will have an additional skill set under your belt? And then the huge thing that I've been seeing is the amount, of course, of video conferencing, and everything is virtual now. So I've been trying to share information on how, you know, businesses are taking everything virtual. So if you're looking for employment, tune into some of the virtual things that are going on. And you're right, it's difficult. The unemployment rate just keeps soaring. It is my prayer that we'll get back soon to the point where we can open up businesses, but much more important, of course, is getting people healthy and flattening the curve here. So those are some of the things that I've been doing and encouraging people to do. Look for things that you can do during the pandemic that will make you greater than you are right now when you come out of it.
And some of those things would be around being or familiarizing yourself with some of those technology, particularly, and you would have a better understanding of this than I would, but I'm not sure that businesses will transition back to the way that they did things. I kind of think that a lot of what we've done and are doing in terms of technology with Zoom and Skype and all the rest, those things are probably here to stay. Do you think that that's what will happen, Aletha? That the convenience of online will be the thing that transpires across business in general?
It definitely will, particularly here in the U.S. because, you know, we keep hearing about, you know, things will have another soar possibly in the fall. And so then we're back to square one. We're shutting everything down. And every business that I've been in contact with, and even just friends and family in the area, everyone is talking about, when things do start to return to normal, having a policy where the hours are split. You work some from home, maybe a couple of days. And this has really forced us to grasp and take a hold of technology. For those of us who aren't so technology savvy, we've learned to do Zoom. And we see that we can actually do this, the work that we do virtually. And now that that's been proven, employers are a lot more open to having that be an integral part of what we do in the future. So I think we will be seeing a lot of that.
I was going to say that there are so many good things that come from allowing people to work from home and have flexible hours. I know my husband has been working home. He's a computer programmer, and it's enabled him to have such a better quality of life, because before the pandemic, he was on the train for 2 hours to and from work each day. So that's, you know, just under 4 hours travel each and every day. And so putting that time back into his time has had a wonderful effect on his life. And I'm hoping that that's one of the things that companies will embrace in allowing their people to do some of that work from home and Zoom into meetings, etc., because it really does improve people's balance, life balance, and allows them to follow their passions and become better employees by doing that.
Yes.
Do you think that the more employees are engaged and balanced, they make better parts in a company, don't they?
Yes, they do. You know, statistics, numerous studies have shown that when you get the work-life balance right, your employees are happier, a lot more productive, and of course, that makes the business far more successful. So definitely, I think it will make a huge difference.
So part of your work as an HR consultant, would it incorporate some of those things and some of that expert analysis for companies that you work with? Is that something that you do, Alicia?
I haven't had to do a lot of analysis in that arena. However, in making presentations, of course, I bring the statistics, and in working with certain groups of people, I try to make sure that I understand, you know, where things are with them. You know, statistics show that this area of expertise is definitely one that you may want to pursue. So I look at that kind of information. I do.
So as we count down to running out of time, unfortunately, it's gone incredibly quickly. What do you have planned for the future? Tell me what Alicia in 5 years' time might look like.
Sure. Wow. I would love, and this is definitely some place that I'm working. I want to be in a place where I can encourage women, of course, continuing to give them the tools that are needed to help them to grow. But also I want to spend a lot more time around the journey. I think sharing our journey makes such a huge impact. It's our legacy.
Absolutely.
You know, it's empowering for women who are going through things that are similar to ours. It's empowering from, you know, for women who are dealing with how do I maneuver getting the child out the front door and me getting to work to the woman who is, you know, has someone to do all of that for her.
Yeah.
She's managing a company of thousands. So I think sharing our journey is going to be so powerful and monumental. And I really want to do a lot more work around that. So I'll have more journey shares, more intimate groups and larger groups. And of course, I'll be taking every opportunity I can to help people to dig down into and to find their passions.
I kind of think that somewhere along the line, we've lost that that ability to connect and share, and we seem to be getting back into sharing our stories more, which is part of being human. Sharing our stories is an ancient custom, and particularly for women, that importance of sharing each other's stories is so valuable in helping us to deal with life and life in general. And that's a wonderful aspiration, Alicia, to have that, and that concept of telling your journey and relating it to other people is just fantastic. I can see that it's very much one of your passions, and it's been wonderful talking to you today.
Thank you.
Before we run out of time and I need to talk to Peter, just quickly tell the listeners and watchers the name of your company and its website, your book and where they can get it, and your Facebook.
Absolutely. I am on Facebook at Jolease Enterprises. That's Jolease. Yeah. I am also, my website is the same, JoliceEnterprises.com. And my book is called 50 Things I've Learned on My Way to 50, Sharing My Journey. And you can also find that on my website. And it's available at Amazon as well.
Oh, fantastic. I've also got Aletha's details and information and her links to her book on BBS Radio/Radio Tony. It's also on the Radio Tony website and it's also on Passion Maps. So there are lots of avenues for you to connect with Aletha. Please feel free to reach out, connect with Aletha, ask her any questions you have, either about HR or passion mapping. Yes. And I really look forward to seeing what you do in the future, Aletha. And before I let you go, I want to see if I can get Peter back on,
because okay.
he always likes to say hi at the end of yes. our interviews, and okay. he's probably got some questions as well. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Peter.
Lovely to see you, Aletha.
Good seeing you.
To listen to your story.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you, Tony, for the interview.
It's lovely. We've had
absolutely.
A wonderful discussion.
Thank you very much.
It's my absolute pleasure for you to come on Radio Tony and the Passion Project today. And we will be able to send you the link to the program later on in the day. And today, Peter and I, so feel free to stay on the show, that's fine. Okay. Peter and I are going to be talking a little bit more about my own passion mapping journey. And
great.
Our subject for today is visioning. Over to you, Peter.
Yeah, well, I could start by saying, this is your passion map. This is your journey. I'm just a guide or...
True.
And really, it's all about how you connect with the vision, and where you've done a process, as you know, to
yes.
have something arise from the future. So, yeah, and, you know, as I do want to say something about visioning, because...
Yes.
We use a particular technique which we call visioning rather than visualizing.
Yeah.
And most people, when they try and do a sort of a process about a future, are visualizing. They're using guiding a client or guiding themselves to a place where their imagination can fill in and create a picture of the future, because a vision is
yeah.
about a picture that we can see. And so there's a number of ways of visualizing, but we're talking about visioning, where the vision actually seems to have its own reality. It
yes.
seems to have its own authenticity.
Yes.
And it arises. And sometimes that's a rich picture that you've experienced before, and
yeah.
sometimes it's not. So I'd like to just ask you, Tony, as to... how you experience that, and I know there are elements of that were the same and elements are different. If you can just tell us, you know, what that was. Thanks.
So the process is really simple, and it's just actually boils down to making sure that you're in a quiet, safe space. It's a closed eye experience, or it was for me, and I was actually able to see a big vision and complete with colors and noise and smells and feelings, and it was a lovely process of and there were some surprises in there, so I'll share with you that I sort of floated between the vision of a huge big eagle with great big wings that was really high up in the sky and looking down. So I sort of went from the vision of the big eagle back down to a property, a beachfront property that was rather beautiful, and I could see and smell and feel the sea breeze and some sea mist, and so it was very real vision for me. And along with that vision, there were some accompanying thoughts that linked directly to my passion map, And those things were around Radio Tony, which is obviously one of my great passions. There was also about financial abundance, because the place where I was physically situated was, you know, quite opulent and lovely. There was no sense of where that was. So it could be anywhere in the world. But it was quite a powerful process. And even today, 24 hours later, I still have that vision in my head. I can still connect with it quite easily. So I don't know, Peter, if that's similar for everyone, but I've always had a huge, big imagination. So perhaps that's easier for me than some other people.
Yeah, I think you know, my sense of that is that you're deeply connected with yourself. And so it was almost like this process, a bit like the icing on the cake.
Yes.
Your cake's already in place.
Yeah.
But I will say that generally, you know, we can vision from different places. We can vision from our heads, from our memory, from our hearts, particularly a negative reaction to something that we didn't like.
Yeah.
And we can use our imagination. And that's all fine, and that's all a human capability. But when we allow something to come from the essence of who we are,
yeah,
it can be much bigger, because the essence of who we are is much more than we ever realize.
Yeah.
And in fact, when we are connected to the essence of who we are, and in its purest sense, we're really connected to everything.
Yeah.
So there's no limits to the vision.
Yeah.
And from that sense of deep trust in ourselves and deep connection and deep power, you know, that comes with that, visions can, you know, be extraordinary.
That was one of my questions, Peter. Even as I'm talking to you now, I get little glimpses of other things that come into that vision that are all parts of my passion map, but little glimpses of, you know, going to a restaurant and having a really nice meal at a beautiful restaurant and paying for the meal for the group of the people that are there, or the feel of the little car that I might drive. Those sorts of things keep coming in and out as well. I guess that all falls into that whole vision exercise, no doubt.
Yeah, I call those sort of vision fragments.
Yes. Yes, that's a good description. Yeah,
they're little precious vision, and they can come from dreams. They can come from thoughts. They can, you know, come from, you know, someone else. And you think, well, wow, that's me too.
Yeah.
It's about being open to that, and it's about. But all of this comes from actually trust in ourselves, because if we really accept ourselves, we're accepting the world as well. So when those fragments come, or those little vignettes of vision, we can accept them as being meaningful.
Yeah.
Because if we're not connected and we're more stressed and whatever, they just come and go and we don't perhaps even notice them. So this whole world of this whole sort of capacity of the vision is really the same capacity as being able to be ourselves.
Yeah.
And if you think about someone like Steve Jobs, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Jobs from nowhere created these incredible visions that led to really changing the whole world in many ways.
He had visions as well, visions of what he wanted his future to be.
Absolutely. And he's actually, if you look up Steve Jobs, you know, vision quotes, there's quite a few.
Yes.
Because he was a visionary.
Yes.
And what is a visionary other than someone who has powerful visions of the future?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think what, in some respects, you're a visionary. You know, you have a much bigger sense of what this Radio Tony could be than it is now.
Yeah.
And Alethea's a visionary in the sense of what she sees world of women unfolding.
Yes, absolutely.
And so we all have this. And the question is, how do we most get it, access to it, and how do we use it? And we use it really by just by staying in touch with it.
Yeah.
And almost letting it go, you know, like just being really clear, that's my vision, that's what I'm working towards, and let things go. And I guess the biggest thing about vision, it allows you to say no to things.
Yes, very much.
So it sets a direction for our life and we can say no to things.
Yeah.
And who hasn't got to the end of the day and done a whole lot of things that weren't what they wanted to do?
Absolutely. They've
done them for other people or they've been distracted. And meanwhile, that's a day of their life. They haven't actually moved towards their sort of potential.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the power of that passion map is in directing your focus and discarding what shouldn't be there. And that's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing for me, particularly because, and I had this discussion with my audience on my earlier show about that filling up your own cup before you can give to others, and that ability to have a passion map and a clear vision gives you power to do that in a very definite way. Gives you the power to put boundaries around people and things, gives you the power to say, no, that's actually not right for me. And it doesn't have to be a big public thing. It can be a very personal thing that just gives you that power to say no. And as with Aletha, I'm sure that her passion map does the same thing for her and any of the other people who've done this wonderful process. It's powerful in giving you clarity and helping you make decisions around your life and your life journey, because we do only have one life. And what we do now, we can leave a legacy and we can create lots of stuff, but at the end of the day, we've just got one life. Why not live it passionately?
Yeah. And why not on our, you know, deathbeds look back and say, I've truly lived my life.
Yeah.
Like the research on regrets when people die.
Yes.
One of the top ones is I haven't lived my life.
Yeah. I've lived my life in doing what other people wanted me to do rather than living what I was meant to do.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize that so many people had not thought about this before. It was evidenced in my show this morning that people had not thought a lot about life was generic for them. You go to work, you come home, you put food on the table, and that's about it. And they're so busy doing life and helping other people that they've failed to recognize that they're not living their life. They're doing life, they're not living life.
Absolutely. I'm reminded of a scary saying, a woman saying, I go to work to make the money, to buy the clothes, to go to work, to make the money, to buy the clothes, to to go to work, to make the money, to buy the clothes, et cetera. And in fact, the whole genesis of my work came from a place of, hell, I don't know what the hell I want to do. And you know, a friend of mine likens this time of transition to having a playing card. You know, you have a card like this and the past goes. You know you don't want to be there, so it moves on its edge. But when it's on its edge, the new one hasn't arisen. The other's gone. There's nothing there. You're balancing. Yeah. And then it turns over and you can see the other side of the card. You know, so I like that as a metaphor for this time of transition. And I think, you know, I've loved working with and training people to work with people in transition because it's a natural place to be completely disoriented.
Yes.
And then, and my my sense is that so many people judge themselves for being.
Yes.
I should know what I need to do. I should know this. I should know that. And I think shoulding your life is not a good thing to do.
Agreed. It's been one of my biggest struggles around I should be doing this, I should be doing that, and getting that out of my mind and changing that thought pattern so that rather than should, do I need to, is that, no more shoulds, trying to stop should and remove should from my vocabulary because it causes me to just stop still and procrastinate and not do, because I feel I tend to feel bad about should, and I tend to still, even after all the work that I've done, I still tend to see myself in other people's eyes as should be doing this or should be doing that, instead of my eyes and my vision and my passion. And again, a wonderful conversation about self-compassion and self-kindness versus self-esteem. And once you start being kind to yourself, life takes on a whole new beautiful meaning and allows you to tap into those things that you are passionate about. And that's not going to be the same for everyone. My passions aren't going to be Peter's or Aletha's. They're very individual to individual people. And that's part of the power of what passion mapping does, is it grabs that individual that you are and throws them up in front of you. So you go, oh yeah, okay, I've forgotten that I felt that way about that thing. Do you find that, Peter?
Absolutely. And I think there's, I'm reluctant to use the word sometimes, but the word soul.
Yeah.
That when people are connected to the essence of what is important for them,
yeah,
there's no logic to the way that it
is.
No.
You got to forget about logic.
Yeah, it comes from a different place. It comes from a sense of soulfulness.
Yeah.
And it's expressed through the physical body. So all those shoulds, if you write down the shoulds and you connect with your physicality around them, they have no energy. They either have none or they have negative. They have contracting energy.
Yes.
And our process is all about how do we expand ourselves.
Yes.
Don't we want to live a life that's, as good as it can be?
Yeah.
And if we don't, why not? Why don't we give them this incredibly precious life? And I think that's one of the other issues. So we don't value it. We don't value the fact that we have this incredibly beautiful life. We live in an incredibly beautiful world. Mm. And then, I guess it's not necessarily so easy to say that if you're in a favela in Sao Paulo. Or, so there are a lot of people who probably can't get to that point because they're still struggling to get to a sense of, self-sustainability, really. And then until that's really met, it's hard to think about what's possible.
Some of the listeners were asking about this, and I actually said that for me and in the hope that it would help them, that you just need to start small. And if you're thinking about doing some of this work and finding your passions, and in particular doing a passion mapping exercise, then it's important that you start to understand a little bit about mindfulness. So even if it starts with a minute or 5 minutes a day where you just sit, whatever is in your brain is in your brain, but you just, that 5 minutes is yours. No one else can ring you, talk to you, get to you, do anything. And I said to one of the guys, go to the loo, close the door, don't let anyone in for 5 minutes, and just let your mind wander. And once you start to get used to that, then you can start to really get into some of this really good stuff and examine your life, find your passions, and start to live them. And after a short amount of time, you'll look back and go, oh, wow, that started with 5 minutes. So I actually very much believe that you can change your life starting with a very small amount of time and work on that. And don't look at it as, oh, I have to do this, this, this. Again, that should and have. And another powerful part of the visioning and passion mapping for me is that to embrace my unique human being as Tony. And I don't need to compare myself to anyone else or what anyone else is doing. And for some people, that's really difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, especially with the media.
Yes.
I mean, the media yes. throws up all of these people, the Michael Jordans or the
English, yes.
the people who are top of their field.
Yes.
That's what gets media coverage. And in fact,
yeah.
what's important is we do what's authentic for us. And if that's yes. raising, you know, a really healthy family, that's
yes.
far as the vision needs to go. You know, it's
absolutely.
Or it could be, you know, a Nelson Mandela vision of
yes.
really bringing peace to the world in a way. So, this authenticity and getting rid of the chatter in our
yes.
minds that allows us to go there, because if there's this surface sort of chatter happening, we don't get to go yeah. down. I'd recommend
right.
anybody who hasn't done some sort of mindfulness
yeah.
to do so. It doesn't have to be sitting. It can be
no.
can be walking, but to
anywhere.
Practice noticing how busy your mind is and letting it
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
But, and one of the things about that is we can't be what we can observe.
Mm-hmm.
So if we observe our thoughts, we're not our thoughts.
Yeah.
If we observe yeah. our feelings, we're not our feelings.
Yeah.
If we observe all of, if we can observe all of this, then we can only observe it from our essence.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
where we want to be connected to, I think, all the
Definitely.
Time.
Definitely. That's where we should... That's where our lives should arise from, that inner being, inner passion. That's the place where people start to live their highest selves. And again, you've only got one life. Why not live it to the best of your ability? And it goes, and it doesn't have, like, if you come from a place of trauma, or life has not been good to you, just starting today and doing a small step will take you out of that trauma, and your healing will commence. And it'll be a journey, like Aletha says and talks about. Everyone's journey is different. They're all powerful, and no one journey is better than another.
Yeah, we just happen to be given a life, and it's a precious
yeah.
gift. And how do we live it to the best of our ability? And how do we
yeah.
how do we not be too influenced by other people? It's
yes.
great to have role models and to say, look,
yes.
I want this quality in so-and-so. I want
yeah.
to be able to perform well. But
yeah.
As you say, it's we don't want to compare ourselves with other people.
No.
Because it
and
reduces
it's very hard not to do that sometimes.
It is hard to do it, and it's practice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we don't do it. I mean, we will do it. But
yeah.
we can at least catch ourselves and saying, no, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
I notice the thought. I'm not the thought.
Yeah.
And I have a T-shirt that says, don't believe everything you think.
So, that's great.
It's interesting when I wear it around, how many people say, wow, that's so true. That's so true. That's so true. You know, what our thoughts are. And not really who we are.
They
don't necessarily
definitely.
Rise from who we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes practice and training and commitment, really, to get to the point where you live from who you are. And that's a joyous, blissful place.
Wonderful
I call it
place.
I call it the bliss of being.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're not influenced.
And imagine the world that we would have if every human being was able to live in that space.
Yeah, I think we're both working to that, Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
We're both working towards being of service to people who
yeah.
can live their lives more authentically, to create more authentic families, organizations,
yeah.
collective people, and to come from the essence of our humanness.
Yes.
Yeah, a more human world, but at the same time, being very connected to the environment. So we're not doing that at the expense of animals and the environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on that note, I believe that we are out of time again. Thank you so much, Peter. It's wonderful to do this Radio Tony and the Passion Project with you. It's just such a gift to me, and I'm really grateful that I can do it with you as my partner.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's great to be part of your journey as well.
All right. And that's all for now, listeners. Join us all next week with Peter Wallman and Tony Lonis on Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Over to you, Don.
Thank you for joining us on Radio Tony this week. Tune in next week for the next episode of Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Live streaming each week, part of the journey. Discover your passion, learn about your purpose, and connect with Tony and Peter. This show is proudly brought to you by Passion Maps. https://www.passionmaps.com. That's www.passionmaps.com. Live passionately every day. Use the code TONY to register for your own online deep dive program with Passion Maps. See you all next week. Bye for now.